This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I am at Toyota of Portsmouth. We've got a nice crowd here, and you are welcome to come on by. We'll be here till 6 o'clock tonight. You know, I was just thinking, we gave Kamala a lot of grief for not visiting the border. Remember when she told us that she's never been to Europe either? And then everyone at the same time thought of that old song, I've never been to Spain. Well, the borders are, and Joe Biden, are not keen on going to the border. In fact, Joe Biden at one point referenced that he'd been to the border. It was actually a drive-by years ago. But I guess that counts now that there's a Democrat who's president. But this got me thinking, do you think sometimes when there's a crisis and you have a president who seems out of touch with people, it's a good time to have him put on the Timberland boots and the jeans and the bomber jacket and go there and help out. And I'm wondering if Joe Biden is going to show up in Martha's Vineyard, you know, boots on the ground, aviators on, like, what can I do to help? Maybe he can do a little Donald Trump, throw out the paper towels to people, but there's got to be something he can do because they're describing it as a humanitarian crisis. And I can't think of anyone better to help in a time of crisis than the man who's constantly falling up the stairs and sticking his face into a bowl of ice cream. It seems like the perfect thing. Joining us now to talk about this is one of my favorite writers. She writes for the Post-Millennial as well as a ton of other places. She's on the show a lot, but she hasn't been on the show in a few weeks. Libby Emmons, thank you so much, Libby, for giving us your time today.
Yeah, sure thing, Grace.
Now, Libby, a lot of people probably don't know this because you talk a lot about New York, but you're from Massachusetts. So I would like to give you an opportunity to give us your reaction to what a lot of liberals are calling an inhumane, evil stunt by Ron DeSantis.
Well, you know, inhumane and evil are not words that I would typically put with Martha's Vineyard. I've only been to Martha's Vineyard twice. Both times it was an absolute privilege to go there. It's an absolutely beautiful place. And I don't see any issue with having people arrive there. It was only 50 people. The people of Martha's Vineyard apparently were pretty upset by it, by having these extra people around, but they got them shelter and food. They had masses of donations and volunteers right away. And maybe if they feel so altruistic about that, they should deploy some of their efforts to the border towns and states that are really in dire need, that experience well over 50 people coming in across the border every day.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I think that, you know, beyond the theatrics of this and the optics, which I think all benefit Republicans at this point, I think at the root of this problem is the fact that Democrats really believe that just because Joe Biden is this, you know, whispering grandfathery, and I always say that's a disservice to grandfathers out there. I'm not trying to compare you to Joe Biden, but they always try to say that he's compassionate and that by having no rules at the border, they think that that translates to being compassionate. And Libby, when you look at what's happening there, there's nothing humane about what goes on at the border. It's actually the exact opposite.
Yeah, I agree with you fully on that. I was talking to Sarah Gonzalez this morning on the Rubin Report, actually, about this, and she was saying that it's very not compassionate to the people who live in the border towns and states to have this happen to their communities. They don't have the resources. They can't handle the influx of people who arrive across the border, let's face it, with a lot of need, right? When we had Ellis Island in the 20th century, people would come, they'd get off the boat, and they would stay there for a while before everything got sorted out and they, you know, made their way to wherever it was they were going in the country. My ancestors came through Ellis Island myself, as did so many other people. But the policies at the border are also lacking in humanity to the border crossers themselves and to the people of Central and South America who are coming north. So it's a treacherous journey. It's dangerous. Yet families, spurred by the idea that their children will have better lives in the U.S., send their kids unaccompanied. They pay coyotes to take their children north. Savannah Hernandez, doing reporting for Post Millennial, was talking about how a girl had been sent north by her parents, and one of the things they gave her for her journey was a big box of condoms. There were only three left at the end of the journey. She had been consistently raped the entire way. That's not a better life. That's not compassionate to let families know in Central and South America that their best hope for their children is to send them on a treacherous journey where they're going to get raped. That's not better, right? And that's not all of it. There's people who drown in the Rio Grande, and then, you know, U.S. border officials go in to try and rescue them, and they drown. This has happened. Children are dying on this journey, you know, and it's not compassionate to the nations that are losing their populations, right, and sending people north. Those places are not going to get better. They're not, you know, Biden and Kamala Harris have talked about the corruption in the Northern Triangle countries. Nothing's going to change if they just keep losing all the people who have the kind of gumption to get up and go either. We see that. So, it's not only not compassionate to have an open border for Americans, but it's not compassionate for the illegal immigrants as well.
Yeah, and Libby, something else that I can't help but notice is, so Joe Biden says, well, we have a process in place to manage migrants at the border. Now Karine Jean-Pierre is saying, you know, we have a lot of work to do. But it seems like with this administration, we have to go through all of these different stages just to acknowledge reality. There's like a six-month stage where they deny that anything's wrong. We saw that with inflation. We saw it with illegal immigration. In the case of illegal immigration, it was more like 2 years. But then finally, the only time that they do acknowledge it is when they're either forced to or when they think they can blame somebody else. And I think this puts us at a huge disadvantage when we're wasting so much time arguing about something that is clearly happening. Like, they have a problem embracing the facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you're right. And part of that is that this administration and, you know, the progressive left at this point believes that if they just use different words, they are changing the reality itself. But language doesn't change the fabric of reality. It just changes how we perceive it. And that's a big problem because they are perceiving reality in a way that is completely false and is damaging our country. We're watching it happen in real time.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up language, because that was something that was a big part of this debate for a long time, was Jen Psaki was trying to avoid calling this a crisis. The AP was telling their reporters, you know, don't call it a crisis. It doesn't meet the classic definition. And you're right. They think if they control the language, then they can what's actually happening. But that's not the case. Libby, I'm glad you brought up Ellis Island, because I'd love to figure out from you what's going on in New York right now. I know that Eric Adams, the mayor, is saying that he is that New York City is at its breaking point, that he is horrified, that this is a terrible thing that Ducey and Abbott and DeSantis are doing. And then I read in the same paper that he's at a nightclub that night with Serena Williams and Anna Wintour. So what's going on in the Empire State?
Yeah, so in New York City, we have a law that anyone who seeks shelter will get it. I think that's actually a pretty honorable thing. You know, if you show up at a shelter and you need a bed, New York City will provide you a bed. I respect that very much. This weekend, New York City was not able to do that. I believe at least 60 people were denied a bed in the city who requested it. And Adams suggested that perhaps we needed to rethink that law. Not that we need to rethink what's forcing homelessness or what's forcing us to have extra people that we can't accommodate. He's saying, you know, we need to give that up instead. So I think that's pretty abysmal on his part. I don't think that's what New Yorkers want. We're tired of seeing massive homelessness on our streets, and it certainly has increased. As to going to nightclubs, I mean, I don't really have an issue with that at all. You know, part of the purview of New York City leaders is that they get to enjoy the fruits of the city. They should just make sure that the rest of us can as well. And that is the that's the issue, is there's a bit of hypocrisy there. But yeah, New York City mayors routinely party with the celebs in the city. I will say, though, that at least he's not doing the Bill de Blasio thing of dancing with his wife in the empty Times Square while forcing everyone to stay locked in their homes during COVID.
Yeah, to be fair, it's hard to beat that. I mean, when it comes to being out of touch, Bill de Blasio did set the bar pretty high. You heard it here first. Libby Emmons, pro-nightclubbing, which I love. I can get on board with that as well. You've changed my mind. Libby, tell everyone what your Twitter is and where they can read all your work.
I'm on Twitter at Libby Emmons, and I'm up at the Postmillennial every day.
She does a great job with all of these different pieces. She's usually the first person to get these stories, so make sure you follow her and read all of her stuff. When we come back, I want to talk about Pete Buttigieg. He was on MSNBC, and he was asked, you know, any regrets, anything you guys could be doing differently? And you'll be, you won't be surprised to know that Pete is very, very proud of the work that they've done so far. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, you're not going to find anybody better than Dr. Houghton. He is the best at what he does. Not only does he fix your teeth and your smile, but he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. And if you need evidence of that, you can just look at Howie Carr. Howie, give us a smile. There we go. Look at that. Beautiful, beautiful choppers. So this year, take care of yourself. You deserve it. Use this opportunity to do something for yourself and call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They are conveniently located off of Route 3. They have plenty of parking. You can reach them at perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. When we come back, I've got that sound from Pete Buttigieg, and we're going to play a little bit of Joe Biden talking about the process that he has in place. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday. I haven't even said that yet. Happy Friday, TGIF. Kind of a different Friday if you're one of the beautiful people on Martha's Vineyard. It's been a stressful 6 hours? No, it's been 24, I think, that they've had. 40. Okay, we're going to give them 40, Howie. We're being generous. We're going to give them 40 hours that they clocked in of just being absolute heroes. They are here. Actually, Jerry, can I get a little bit of that old Mariah Carey drop that I used to like? I don't play that nearly as much as I should, but I definitely think it is worth playing right now because I...
There's a hero. If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are.
The people of Martha's Vineyard will be patting themselves on the back for this last 40 hours for the next 5 years. They'll
Aiden
be looking
has
in the
no
mirror.
Home here, and neither do you, so move along.
They'll be looking in the mirror saying, you deserve something for this. You deserve, the Kennedy Center should be honoring you. You, because you did the Lord's work. And those awful Republicans who claim to be so Christ-like have only been doing this for 50 years. Jay, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, Grace?
Good. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Sorry about that reverb there.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, so I just getting to the Martha's Vineyard thing. I'm up here in Maine, and we get, you know, pummeled with the French Canadians every summer. Well, this summer's the first time since COVID, but it's like you know, we're cordial to them. We, you know, accept them. We let them in. We, you know, we show them around. We cater to them, their needs. But, like, not even 24 hours in Martha's Vineyard, they can't take them over and show them the rock. They can't go to Oak Bluffs. I mean, just they ship them out that fast. Kind of weird.
It's very weird. And, in fact, it's making me question whether or not the hate has no home here signs and the avatars with the Ukrainian flag and all of that kind of stuff, if maybe it was just performative. And honestly, it gets me emotional even thinking about that, because I don't want to lose faith in the progressive, liberal, limousine, beautiful people who are always telling us what to do and never following their own rules. And speaking of that, if we're going to talk about beautiful people who like to yell at us, who like to lecture us about how terrible we are, I'm kind of over that too. It used to have a real effect on me when people would say, you're mean, you don't care about people. It's lost its zing, you know? I don't believe it, because now when they have a chance to show me how much they care, they don't really do that. So I wanted to play you a cut from MSNBC's Joe Scarborough. This is cut 9, please.
I want order at the southern border. I don't think people should come in illegally, but it is grotesque to grab these people, throw them on buses, drive them up to Washington, D.C., and just drop them outside of an official residence, a vice president's residence. It's grotesque what they're doing with these human beings. This is political human trafficking.
Well, he is going to be shocked when he finds out that Joe Biden has been doing that for months and that Lori Lightfoot actually just did that the other day. I'm sure he'll have that same energy when he finds out that some of his leaders are also partaking in that human trafficking, as he likes to call it. Let's go to Lou. You're up next. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, how you doing, Grace? Did you see where Newsom wants the Justice Department to look into kidnapping charges for these migrants?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what did DeSantis do? He took some migrants, he took 50 people, and brought them up to probably one of the most tawny and affluent parts of the country, if not the world, and drop them off there among the most sophisticated and vaccinated people that exist in the universe. You know what I mean? I mean, how can they do them any harm up there? These are people who make money off of compassion, like Obama and some of these other ones. They make their money off of being compassionate, and he's dropping them off in probably what should be the most compassionate place in the universe.
Yeah, these are the same people, the same politicians who told us that they were going to restore the soul of the nation. And here they have an opportunity to show us a little bit of that soul restoration. And they don't have any interest. I actually have a Martha's Vineyard story for you guys. I used to waitress on the island. And one time I was waitressing there and Elizabeth Warren was there. It was like a Democrat convention. She got the really fancy oatmeal at the restaurant that I was waitressing at. And I brought it to her, and she tipped well. I don't even remember, but she tipped well for breakfast. But yeah, that was my Martha's Vineyard story. And there was beautiful, I think Al Franken was there. It was the who's who of Democrat polls. And unfortunately, I didn't get to ask them how they would handle a situation like this, because I never thought it would actually happen. But Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey are melting down. They're tweeting around the clock about this and how horrible it is. But then at the same time, they're trying to convince us, we're really happy about it. We're very happy that the illegal aliens are in Martha's Vineyard. We just happen to be sending them on buses out of Martha's Vineyard within 24 hours. By the way, I have a question. The buses that are now arriving in Edgartown to transport the migrants back to Cape Cod, so they'll send them to the steamship and then they'll go back to Cape Cod. Stephen Miller had a great question. He said, who hired these buses? Was it the governor? And if so, is this human trafficking? Because if we're getting into the business of putting people on buses and giving them a free ride somewhere as human trafficking, then I think a lot of these politicians are going to have a problem on their hands. 844-500-4242. I still see everybody on the lines. We're going to go right back to the calls. Thank you, Lou, for calling in.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Pete Buttigieg's very bad interview on CNBC. Don't go anywhere. We're at Toyota of Portsmouth, and we'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And with Secretary Mayorkas' leadership, we're committed to fixing the immigration system. Instead of working with us on solutions, Republicans are playing politics with human beings, using them as props. What they're doing is simply wrong. It's un-American. It's reckless. And we have a process in place to manage migrants at the border. We're working to make sure it's safe and orderly and humane. Republican officials should not interfere with that process by waging a these political stunts.
It's nice to hear him talking about immigration, because I haven't heard a peep out of him on that front until some of these illegal aliens started showing up to Martha's Vineyard. That was the last time I heard, you know, this is the first time I've heard him say anything about this in a very, very long time. And like I pointed out, that process that he's talking about has led to record numbers of illegal aliens coming into this country and record numbers of illegal aliens being killed trying to get into this country. There's nothing humane about it. There's nothing nice about it. And he's just a fraud. He's in his tuxedo complaining about Republicans. Not everything can be Republicans' fault, Joe. And you look ridiculous. And people are very... If you look at this and you can't honestly say to yourself that this makes Democrats look like hypocrites, then you can't be taken seriously. Because there's no way to rationalize this and say Republicans are evil. Republicans are evil for doing something that we were told was a great thing, that we should all be... If you're a sanctuary city and no one actually takes you up on sanctuary, what's the point? This is your time to shine. You should be grateful to Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott. Let's go to Betsy. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Betsy.
Hi, Grace. I've been a municipal officer a few times in New England and Maine. And when I first heard them say, concerns about resources, I thought, if you know municipal budgets well, and I think probably Howie, he was a municipal officer too, we can't print money. So you go, okay, well, that makes sense. And so I thought, well, why don't I take a look at their documents online and see what they do have and what their budgets are. And it's a very well organized six towns. They have extensive plans. They have all kinds of plans for affordable housing. They have transportation, they have schools, they have environmental impacts. So really, after I looked at, and it looked like they were maybe goofing with their website a little bit because it was a little hard to get around, but after I looked at their budgets and all of the plans that they've laid out, that statement that they made about not having the resources rang a little bit hollow for me, or not having the planning, because it looks like they have planned extensively for themselves. But I don't know how you don't fit in 50 additional people when you have schools and you have transportation and you have affordable housing plans and all of these things. It was quite eye-opening to see the extensive documentation online that they have related to their local government. And I'll just end with one thought, was that Charlie Baker apparently, according to NBC, sent 125 National Guard. So that's 2.5 guards for every person. And so, if they did that at the 10,000 people that Ted Cruz saw yesterday, we need like 26,000 guards at the board to help manage this problem. I mean, I think the Dems have put a great light on this.
Yeah. And I think that the reason we don't need that at the border is because those are just Texas towns, so nobody cares about them. It's not as important to our politicians as Martha's Vineyard. But I'm glad you brought up the 50 people, because Martha's Vineyard was able to accommodate 700 people when Barack Obama had this big, bougie birthday party with all of his fabulous friends. There were 700 people there. And now we're told that 50 people, that's too much. that's the straw that's going to break the camel's back. I mean, I guess it just depends on who the people are, because in this case, it's illegal aliens. In the case of Barack Obama, it was sophisticated celebrities. So, you know, they made accommodations available. It's just ridiculous, Betsy. Thanks for calling in. And Betsy's right. That is the line they're using. She forgot one thing, though. Infrastructure. We don't have the infrastructure to deal with it. And the same thing was said by a woman who runs the Catholic charity organizations in New York. She said, you know, in Texas, they have the infrastructure. In New York, we don't have the infrastructure. If I'm from Texas, I'm saying challenge. I don't think any town has the infrastructure to take on people who are crossing the border illegally. And if I'm from Texas, I'm looking at the people in New York and saying, we don't have the infrastructure either. I keep going back to this example of when someone tries to tell you, they're trying to make a sucker out of you. So they say, oh, you should do this because you're better at it than I am. That's what they're trying to say to the people in Texas. Oh, you guys should handle all the illegal aliens because you're better at it. You have the infrastructure. You know how to do it. And if you're in Texas, you're saying, no, that's okay. You can help too. If you think it's such a great thing, we trust you. I'm sure you'll do a great job. You just need the opportunity to try. Let's take Wayne here, and then I'm going to play some sound. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Grace. What kills me, and this is nothing I'm going to say is new news here. What kills me is that most of the people go on Yahoo, open Yahoo. That's my homepage right now. Every day there's something about Trump that just wants to bury him. And most people have no clue about what is really going on. I'm on the Brockton Facebook page, and all these liberals are like, that didn't happen. What do you mean? Biden's been transporting people? No, that hasn't happened. Why are you spreading fake news? And then I'll just post a little link. They just don't know. And I know it's the Democrat-run media, but most of the people never have, and they never will, know the truth.
Yeah, I can't do the Facebook pages. I did one for the town I live in, and it lasted for about 20 minutes, and my blood pressure. Some things in life, like I'll go on Twitter, I'll check on CNN occasionally to see what's going on, but you don't want to torture yourself. You know, if you're on a Facebook group for, let's say, Wellesley or Martha's Vineyard or, you know, Nantucket, that is putting yourself through something that you're not meant to handle. You know, you just walk away. Walk away. There's nothing to be gained from it. I want to play here a cut from a Martha's Vineyard resident, and there's going to be more sound of this because now there's a woman who's in front of all the cameras yelling about how, you know, that states shouldn't be interfering in with the federal government and with their immigration rules. Again, because that's all going so well. It's just like what Wayne said. No one's been reading the stories about all of the crossings that are happening and all of the people, the gotaways that are coming in and all the people who are drowning. This is news to all of these people on Martha's Vineyard. They're shocked by this. Let's play a Martha's Vineyard resident on WHDH. Cut 10.
So, what are the most difficult challenges right now?
The difficult challenges are we have, at some point in time, they have to move from here to somewhere else, right? We don't have the services to take care of 50 immigrants, and we certainly don't have housing. We're in a housing crisis as we are on this island, and so we can't house everyone here that lives here and works here. We don't have housing for 50 more people.
I've seen a photo of Barack Obama's home on the vineyard, and it is pretty roomy. You know, I think you could probably fit a lot of people into that house. I also love how this woman says at some point in time they're going to have to leave. By some point in time, she meant in 24 hours. At some point in time, as in right now. Let's go. I want to play here, and I know people are on the lines, but I do want to play a cut from Pete Buttigieg because this cracked me up. He was on with Joe Kernan. For people who missed this earlier this week, because it's hard to keep up with all of these disasters coming out of this administration, Joe Biden, on the day the CPI report came out, decided to have a party celebrating the Inflation Reduction Act. He had James Taylor there singing Fire and Rain. They were all celebrating. He was yelling at us about how great everything is. You know, we're all kind of like, okay, we get it. Stop yelling. And during that, no one thought this is a bad idea. This isn't going to really play well with the American people. So Joe Kernan from Squawk Box decided to ask Pete Buttigieg, who's the Secretary of Transportation, how no one in the administration, with all the Ivy League degrees and all the brains they got going, how no one had the common sense to pull the plug on the James Taylor shindig. This is my favorite cut of the day, actually. Cut 16.
We're all, you know, worrying about inflation, and we got some data points this week that were a little bit shocking. And there's a lot of discussion about that ceremony on Tuesday. And while you were listening and watching what was going on, was it clear to you at the time that that was a mistake? That to be popping champagne corks about conquering inflation on a day when the stock market at that very moment was down almost 1,300 points, over 1,200 points, after another really horrific inflation report. Did you say to yourself at that time, what are we doing? This looks really bad.
No.
No. Well, therein lies the rub. That's part of the problem. No, of course he didn't. He was like, guys, this is great. We need more of this. I want to take the other cut here, too, because I always say that sometimes when the best and the brightest, whether it's Karine Jean-Pierre, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, when they're asked a question, sometimes really good questions, once in a while the journalists ask a good question, it doesn't even matter because they don't even pretend like they're going to answer the question. It's like speaking to a brick wall. And Joe Kernan asked Pete about this exact problem. This is cut 17.
On that day, it looked really tone deaf. I mean, what you're telling me, so just stick to the script. The economy is great. The border is secure. Our cities are safe. Wouldn't it be better to just be honest with the American people about the soup that we're in right now? And we can all try to deal with it together instead of just...
Nobody's saying we don't have any problems. But if you don't pause and recognize the meaning of one of the most significant pieces of legislation so far in the 21st century, just because we also have a lot of other problems we're contending with as a country, then I think you're really feeding into a narrative that's pulling America down and holding America back.
If you don't throw a party with James Taylor on the South Lawn, then you will never forgive yourself. You will live the rest of your life thinking, we had the chance to have a celebration with James Taylor and we missed it. That's his argument. If you don't pause and take in the Inflation Reduction Act, which, by the way, according to plenty of accounts, whether you look at, and I know I'm not talking about the Nobel laureates who told us that inflation was transitory, I'm talking about other organizations. They don't think this is going to bring down inflation. So what are we celebrating? We're celebrating like rebates on solar panels? And listen to Kamala Harris, because she talks about this with News 4 Buffalo. This is cut 15.
So our administration has invested $370 billion in what we can do to address the climate crisis.
A lot of that $370 billion relies on credits, rebates, at a time where a lot of families might not have a lot of disposable income to make that initial investment right now with inflation, the most recent number at 8.3%. How is the family supposed to work around that if they don't have that initial money?
Well, we think about the costs of things in totality, right?
That's translation for we are not going to be saving anyone any money. That is translation. That's another way of saying it's baked in. That's their other favorite expression. Or it's an investment. No one has any answers. And it's just amazing that the only time you get questions like this is if you're on a local news channel, because no one at CNN or MSNBC is going to ask these questions. Let's play another cut from Kamala Harris before we go to the break. This is cut 13.
We have done polling, which shows that in New York State, 38% of people say the economy is their top issue when they go to the ballot box in November. With inflation still at 8.3%, though, is that a concern for the party?
Well, I will tell you, given that not one Republican in Congress, in the House or the Senate, voted in favor of the Inflation Reduction Act, I do believe that Democrats are in good standing.
Yeah, that would be if it was an actual
act that would reduce inflation, but it was a $379 billion sweeping climate tax bill. It wasn't anything to do with inflation. But she thinks it's going to hurt Republicans that they weren't on board for this massive spending, which makes me laugh because it's not helping Democrats. Joe Manchin signed on for this. He got rolled. He signed on for it. And has anyone checked Joe Manchin's poll numbers lately? Not good. Not good, Kamala. Mixed signals here. 844-500-4242. 617 says it's a historic event. Yes, the James Taylor sing-along was historic indeed. The Democrat surveillance state is here. 87,000 new armed, that's right, armed non-law enforcement IRS agents. Why does America need that? They said no new taxes on individuals making under $400,000. So we paid attention to the $400K and they slipped this in under our noses. They'll soon control all aspects of your life, rummaging through every dime you spent. They've already talked about going through your Venmo accounts for the billionaire babysitters who aren't paying their fair share. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg. Now you have to protect it. So you need this now. Get Monetary Gold's new guide, 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. 888-617-7994, and you can get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. It's 888-617-7994, and time is of the essence. We will be right back. We're at Toyota of Portsmouth. We've still got a lot of show left, so don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. For all your unwanted smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Buy the 3-pack and use a couple for yourself. Maybe give one as a gift this Christmas. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose response to the illegal immigrant drop-offs was the funniest? Joe Scarborough, Joe Biden, Martha's Vineyard residents, or Lori Lightfoot?
I'm going to say the MV residents, Jared.
They are running away with it at 72%. Like they but I will ran be away playing, from the arrivals.
I will be playing more of those cuts so people know what they're voting for. Joining me now, let's give him a big round of applause, is Jim Boyle from Toyota of Portsmouth.
Thank you.
Jim, thank you so much for coming on. People can come here till 6 o'clock. We'll have some food from the 110 Grill. But what I want you to talk about a little bit is what you've got here as far as cars go.
Well, we've got some, sadly, it's a slim selection of Toyotas. You know, we've been selling every single one because of things that are going on in the world that you're all aware of. But we do have the best selection, and we work with customers to make sure they get the one they want. So we'll sit down and spec the car out, get it ordered, and it will come in short order. So, you know, like a 6-week window or so.
You also have very nice people that work for you. I'm biased because I'm friends with Brad, who's a salesman here, but your entire team is just fabulous.
No, it's always the people. You know, I'm so blessed to have terrific sales, service, and administrative people here. And the building's beautiful.
It really is.
The product's number one, and Toyota is the number one, you know, retail automotive brand. And we're obviously all doing quite well here, thank God, because of the people that work here and all the things came together, you know what I mean? Much like your career. I mean, here we are at the home of your original getaway show.
Yes, yes. This was my first remote show, and it's a perfect place to do it. Like you said, it's a beautiful, beautiful spot. It's a beautiful day. It's a great day to come here and ask some questions, maybe check out a few cars. This is where I got my RAV4. A lot of times people come and they say, is your RAV4 here right now? It is here, and it's fabulous. I've got the sunroof and, you know, the rear view camera and the works. And that was all because of you and Brad. You convinced me to get everything and wait for the car that I wanted, which is really good advice. Now, if anyone wants to stop by here, we're at Toyota of Portsmouth. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. You can also go to toyotaofportsmouth.com to check out their website, check out their inventory. Jim Boyle, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for being here.
We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.